moments, just a few moments, we'll be standing for the song has been announced to encourage those who may need to obey the gospel of Christ to come forward and do that. Our lesson this morning will be kind of based on the book of Romans, chapter 8. So most of our reading, or much of our reading, will be from that chapter. Last week we had a lesson on hell and the benefits of going to hell, if you want to use that term. Certainly we understand that it was not what we would want to have and want to do and want to be. Today I'd like for us to think about something a little different. I'd like for us to look at the blessings of Christ, or blessings of being in Christ, or the blessings of being a Christian. The Apostle Paul in chapter 8 of Romans, in verse 1, says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Well, we need to understand what he's talking about as far as being in Christ Jesus. We find that those that are in Christ are those who have heard the gospel, those who believe the gospel, those who have repented of their sins, those who have confessed Christ as being the Son of God, those who have been baptized into Christ. Galatians 3 verses 27 says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." This is who Paul's talking about, in Christ. Many of us profess to be in Christ, and many of us certainly hope we are. But all of those who have become Christians and remain faithful to Christ is the ones that he's talking about here, and the benefits and the blessings that will be received. The blessings that are at least some of the blessings, I'm sure I don't have them all by any means, that we're going to look at, but we find that we have a special relationship with God the Father, who is our Creator. Genesis 1 and verse chapters 1 and 2, we find that God created the heavens and the earth. And later on in that reading, we find that he created man and woman and the things that transpired after that. We find that if we're in Christ, we have a special relationship with Christ. First of all, in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." An advocate is someone who stands beside you and helps you out, and supports you when you're doing the things, and in this case, when you're doing the things right. If we have sinned, we make correction of it, and Christ is there to help us with the forgiveness. Also in chapter 2, in verse 2, we find that, "And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the world, the whole world." Propitiation is someone who has redeemed us. Someone has paid the price. Someone that has made that sacrifice on our benefit. Christ made that sacrifice that the whole world can have benefits from that only through obedience to him. We also find that we have a relationship, a special relationship with the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us, as we'll read a little later. Beginning in chapter 2 of 8 of Romans, verses 2 through 5, we find a contrast between the law of the flesh and the law of the spirit. And I'd like to read those verses, 2 through 5. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending his only son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Paul's talking about two laws here. First of all, he's talking about the law of the flesh, which is the human and the material side that we may put ourselves involved in. Excuse me, I got a paper here that wants to float underneath me. But the other law is the law of Moses. The law of Moses was not intended for all mankind, as we find in the Old Testament. It was given only to the Hebrew people. The law of Moses was to bring those people up to the time of Christ, which it did, and it was fulfilled in Christ's coming. But the law of the flesh is something that's been around from day one, as far as mankind is concerned. It's a matter of whether we let the flesh guide what we're going to do rather than the Spirit of Christ. In Galatians 5, verses 19 through 25, or 21, Galatians 5, 19 through 21, we find Paul to the church at Galatia is enumerating what the laws of the flesh is. He says, now the deeds of the flesh in verse 19 are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousies, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he goes on in verse 22 and talks about the law of the Spirit, or the outcome of the, if you're following the law of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. In other words, a contrast between the deeds of the flesh and the law of the Spirit, and the deeds that we accomplish through that. Verses 6 through 8, back in Romans 8. If our ultimate goals and desires are set on the flesh and what our flesh desires, and not over come by what God desires us to do, and we don't put that first, that God, what God desires us to do, we find that we are not pleasing to God. Verses 6 through 8, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God. For if it's not even able to do so, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Certainly we are in the flesh, but not in the sense he's talking about here. If we put the flesh first, foremost, our ultimate desire, then we're living in the flesh. But if we let the Spirit of God direct us as how we are to live in the flesh, as here on earth, then we are pleasing to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, or chapter 10, verses 13. We find that God makes provisions that we can get by these things and in the flesh. He says in verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure. One of the blessings that we have from our God, He keeps us from being tempted further than we're able to overcome. And He gives us a way of escape. In James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. We find that God, that we are encouraged to look to God for our wisdom and how we are to look at the things that are approaching us and things that we need to overcome. In verse 5, James says, but if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. A blessing from God that He will give us wisdom to how we're to walk in during this lifetime. Revelation chapter 2, we find the forgiveness of sins that is a benefit that we have from God, and as we are in Christ and walking in the Spirit. Chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 of Revelation. Talking to the church at Ephesus, he says, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at first, or else I am coming to you, and will remove your lampstand out of that place, unless you repent. God has promised if we fall along the wayside, that we, if we will repent of these things, change our life, turn back to Him, then He will be back in Christ. Also in James chapter 5, we find the avenue of prayer that we have as a benefit or a blessing to the Christian. James 5, verses 13 and verse 16. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. If anyone's cheerful, let him sing praises. Verse 16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. A blessing that we have, that God has given us this avenue of prayer. Back to Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, we find that if we are in Christ, as we've talked about a while ago, how we become a part of Christ and in Christ, how we're clothed with Christ, then we become heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Verses 14 through 17. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, and heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Can we fathom the idea of being a fellow heir of God, along with Christ? I don't know if if I can fully, I know I can't fully understand it. I'm not sure I can fully fathom it by any means. But we're taught that when we are pleasing to God, when we are in Christ, when we're walking the way that He would want us to walk, that we have that hope of eternity and along with Christ spend eternity in heaven with Him. And as if in the physical life we think of heirs being brothers and sisters in most cases, but we'll be as the one of Christ. We will be considered and are considered children of God. Our, the creation that He created, mankind, if we are living in Christ, then we have become adopted as children. The created has been adopted as children. Verses 26 through 28 in Romans. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us and with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Said earlier that one of the blessings we have is having the Holy Spirit, a special relationship with Him. We find here that He intercedes for us. And when it talks about God looks into the mind of the Holy Spirit, if I understand this right, and the Holy Spirit has poured out to Him the things that we need that we're unable to truly ask for and know how to ask for it, and that He is a benefit or a blessing for us. Verses 33 and 34, we find also that Christ intercedes for us. Verse 33 says, "Who will bring a charge against God's elect?" Talking about Christians. God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather who was raised, who at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us, pleads our case. When we correct ourselves, when we turn back to God and we are obedient to His word, God's on our side, or Christ's on our side, and He's there pleading for us, interceding for us. Verses 37 through 39. But in these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No one, no thing can remove our relationship from God. We can give that relationship up, though, by turning back to the works of the flesh, the law of the flesh. We can turn our salvation back over and ignore it. We can give it up and go back to the law of the flesh, but no one can take it away from us, thankfully. And that's one of the blessings that God has given us. He won't allow that to happen. He gives us every benefit and every opportunity to be pleasing to Him. The ultimate blessings for those who are in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Ultimate blessing that we have, if we remain in Christ, is to spend eternity with God. Revelation chapter 20, we find the scene of the judgment day. Chapter 20, verses 11, beginning. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every one of them according to their deeds. And death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And then continuing on into chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death, there shall no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, behold, I am making all things new. And he said, write, for these words are faithful and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake of that lake that burns with the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The blessing, the ultimate blessing that we have found in being faithful and being in Christ, is spending eternity with him in the blessedness of his face. We started out with passage Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Certainly the question we have to ask, am I in Christ? Are you in Christ? If not, do you want to be? The blessings are only, all the spiritual blessings are only in Christ. If you're anyway subject to the Lord's invitation, this time we're going to ask you to come forward as we stand and sing.